Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hope you've still got your notice sheet in front of you as we concentrate on these verses from the end of the first chapter of John's Gospel. And we saw last week how the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem had sent priests and Levites to question John the Baptist as to who he was. He was asked if he was the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet, and he denied that he was any of these. And those sent to John were desperate for an answer to take back to those Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. So he replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord." The Pharisees then took over the questioning. "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John's reply was, "I baptize with water, but one among you stands you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John had introduced Jesus in a fourfold manner, introduced him as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God, as the one who baptizes by the Spirit, and as the Son of God. In our opening verse 35, he chooses one of these. He doesn't say, "Look, the Messiah," or "Look, the one who baptizes by the Spirit," not even "Look, the Son of God." He says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And this was the introduction that he'd used the day before when he added, "who takes away the sin of the world." What John realized was that the first problem that people have to deal with in their relationship with God is the problem of sin. We've had reference this morning also to Laura saying about her attitude to New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you're a person who makes a New Year's resolution. I don't usually do that. And it may be that the good resolutions you've made in good faith, those 2 or 3 days ago, may be now in the dust. New Year's resolutions, I expect, have their place in some people's lives. The only access we have to the living God is through the Lamb of God and the doorway of the forgiveness of sins. And when we are ready as sinners to deal with our sins, to bring them to a holy God, then we have that door open to God's kingdom. We'll never find the assurance of sins forgiven until we first find Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. "Look," he said, "the Lamb of God." And it's amazing that on hearing this, those two disciples, then left John and followed Jesus. We're told in verse 40 that one of those disciples was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And down the centuries, people have wondered who the other disciple was. He could well have been John, the writer of this fourth gospel, because we discover in his gospel that John never mentions himself by name, but uses the description as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And what Andrew and his unnamed companion heard must have struck a chord, for they immediately followed Jesus. It may have been through curiosity, it may have been a sense of need or something else. And whatever it was, Jesus asked them a question. What do you want? And they're the first recorded words of Jesus in John's Gospel. And they're remarkable. There's a certain fascination about the questions God asks of people. These words, what do you want, go right to the core of life. And the answer John's two disciples gives is, I believe, a very cautious one. They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus gives the answer, come and see. And so they went. And it wasn't a quick 5 or 10 minute tour of the house. We're told that they spent the rest of the day with Jesus. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall to hear what they were talking about and what Jesus wanted to say to them. And as we've seen, Andrew was one of the two who spent quality time with Jesus. The Bible doesn't give us a great deal of information about Andrew, but even what little we do know of him perfectly paints his character. Of the 12 apostles, he is one of the most attractive and lovable characters. And did you notice the first thing that Andrew did after speaking and spending time with Jesus and the other disciple of John? The first thing he did was to go and find his brother, Simon, and told him, we have found the Messiah. And then he brought him to Jesus. What a lovely action Andrew did for his brother. And as always, Jesus knows everything. And as Peter is brought to him, he looks at Peter and he sees his potential. He knew that he was Simon, son of John, but that he would be called Kephas, which when translated is a word for rock. In the Bible, there are instances of people having met with God, God the Father and the Lord Jesus, and the whole direction of their lives then has been changed. And also, some had their names changed. Way back in the Old Testament, Abram became Abraham. As we've heard this morning, Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul. That name change marking that direction of change in their lives. And as we look a little more closely at Andrew, he was one of the first men to leave all and follow Jesus. He had quickly grasped the lesson that saying yes to Jesus involved every part of his life. and it also involved commending Jesus to others by the kind of life he lived and the sort of person, the words he spoke. And one lovely aspect about Andrew's life is that he was prepared to take second place. Again and again in the New Testament, he is referred to as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And we see that in his life he lived under his brother's shadow. Andrew wasn't one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John, who often went with Jesus, just the four of them together. And it would have been easy for Andrew to resent that, for he was one of the first to have been called by Jesus. But that thought never entered his head. He was content to stand back and let others take the limelight. To Andrew, such matters of precedence and place and honor mattered nothing at all. The one thing that mattered was that he would serve Jesus faithfully. I wonder if you've seen anything of yourself in Andrew this morning. Are you content to take second place for others to be in the limelight? Many Christians aren't. They don't help and encourage young Christians to grow in their newfound faith. They aren't prepared to share the workload of the kingdom. We could go on. If we say yes to Jesus, it involves putting him first, others second, and ourselves last. The real key to joy: Jesus, others, yourself. And Andrew was always introducing people to Jesus. There are only three occasions in the gospel story when Andrew is brought into the center stage. And what do we find him doing on each occasion? We find him bringing people to Jesus. We've just seen in this reading how he brought his brother to Jesus. And in John chapter 6, we find Andrew bringing a young lad, the lad with five loaves and two fish, and the blessing that that meant to 5,000 men besides women and children. And the third reference is in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, when Philip had first been asked by some Greeks, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And what did Philip do? He went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Andrew is the one with a truly missionary heart. Having found the friendship of Jesus for himself as a reality, he spent his life introducing others to the Savior. And I wonder where we stand in all of this. Have we said yes to Jesus, but perhaps never fully realized that we also have a commission and commitment to bring others to him? Those with whom we live at home who may not be Christians, those with whom we work or share leisure time with. These are all opportunities for us. And in all of this, prayer is vital. We need to ask the Lord to give opportunities to us. And then, having received those opportunities, to have the courage to act on them. My friends, the gospel is good news. These past 9 months, there's been so much bad news, much around COVID-19. We've seen the rapid escalation of the number of people suffering from this virus. And in recent weeks, there's been this new strain, more virulent than the other. The effects are escalating so rapidly. We desperately want to hear some good news that will bring encouragement. And the good news that we have just celebrated just over a week or so ago is that the Saviour has been born so that sinful people might be reconciled to him, to that holy God, through their acceptance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, taking our sins and theirs in his body on the cross. And if that isn't good news worth sharing, then I don't know what is. We're going to pause now and listen to the group as they sing the song, Behold the Lamb.
Our sins away, slain for us, and we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink sacrifice.
Thank you very much. We turn to the closing verses of our reading. And these take place on the fourth successive day, which is specially mentioned by John, and its events described. The first day had contained John the Baptist's reply to the priests and the Levites. And the second was the public announcement of Jesus as the Lamb of God. We've just looked at the events of the third day, and on this fourth day now, Jesus decided to leave the south and to go north to Galilee. It isn't certain where Philip was when Jesus called him, and the call was a simple "Follow me." And Philip, like Andrew, couldn't keep the good news to himself. What did he do? He went and he found his friend, Nathanael. And the good news he shared was that they had found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And the reaction of Nathanael when he hears mention of Nazareth was really nothing short of contemptuous. His argument was that nothing in the Old Testament had foretold that God's promised Messiah would come from Nazareth. And his response was, can anything good come from there? Nazareth, it must be said, was quite an undistinguished place. Nathanael came from Cana, another Galilean town. And in the country places, jealousy between town and town and rivalry between village and village was notorious. Nathanael's reaction was to declare that Nazareth was not the kind of place from which anything good would come. We see here the wisdom of Philip. He didn't argue with his friend Nathanael, but simply said, come and see. And Nathanael accepted Philip's invitation. But it is as we see Nathanael approaching that we see the ability of the Son of God to see into a person's heart. And Jesus says about Nathanael, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And that was a tribute that any Israelite would recognize from the Old Testament, from Psalm 32 and verse 2. That says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Nathanael was surprised that anybody could give such a verdict like that on so short an acquaintance. And he asked how Jesus could possibly know about him. And Jesus said that he had already seen him under the tree, the fig tree, before Philip called him. Nathanael's response was to declare, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus' response in verse 51 to Nathanael's declaration about him being Son of God and King of Israel is a tight-packed way of saying, don't think that all of you will see one or two remarkable acts. What you will see from now on is the reality towards which Jacob's ladder and even the temple itself was pointing like a signpost. And the focus was on the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. And so we've seen this morning instances of people meeting the Lord Jesus and being amazed that he knew so much about them. As we ourselves come to him, perhaps afresh on this first Sunday of this year of our Lord's grace, 2021, may our commitment to him be to have that stirring up of our bodies, our souls, our very innermost being, not only to have the good news in our own hearts, but to seek to share it with others, and in all these things, to God be the glory. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is unchanging. As we seek to draw near to him, day by day and moment by moment, please equip us for our calling so that we may bring that good news to others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.